series of about 10 plus conversations with people like you running various businesses, either the digital arm of a business or digital businesses like yours, with a view to seeing how people have coped, how people have survived, how perhaps people have learned a few lessons. And for certain businesses, I hope that they might come out stronger. So we're sort of looking for positive tones and encouraging signs, but we're going to speak to people like your good self, Jack Tang, who runs Urban Massage, who hasn't been offering too many urban massages in the last 3 months and has had to pivot quite significantly. We're speaking to the digital director at Boots, Holland & Barrett, et cetera, et cetera. So great variety. And I just wanted to find out how you've been coping it or surviving or possibly thriving at Mindful Chef. So the first question, if I may, should I just launch into it and and we can take notes. So thank you, Tim Lee of Mindful Chef, for having this time with us. Indeed, as mentioned, I'd love to understand a little bit more about how you've done, how you've been in the last 3 months or so through the obvious pandemic. As we sit here heading towards the end of June, and things starting to lift again. First question is, how has performance been for you for the last 2 or 3 months?
So performance has been really strong. We've grown customer numbers over 450%, and the business is sort of forecast to jump from 16 million full year sales last year to close to 50 million this year.
Fantastic.
So, well ahead of plan.
And what opportunities have you seen that you've been able to enact on in terms of either catalyzing your business, reforming your business, but certainly doing everything you can to make the most of this increased demand?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think because of a few things we've been able, I mean, clearly the biggest change has been we've been able to grow much faster than the original plan. I mean, that's sort of I guess the most significant piece. We're at least a year, maybe year and a half ahead of our original plan. I guess what have we enacted differently? Well, first and foremost, we're a B Corp and we always run the business as a triple bottom line, so people, planet and profit. And so right at the kickstart of the pandemic, we immediately said, actually, do you know what's the right thing to do? And we offered 30% discount to all NH staff. And to date, we've delivered over 20,000 boxes to NHS staff in relation to that discount. So I guess we've sort of been able to act really quickly in terms of giving back as part of responding to kind of this disaster. In addition, it's also meant that we run a One Feeds Two program, so a charity that basically provides meals to school children living in poverty. And because of our growth, we've enabled that to pass the 3 million meals that we've donated mark. So I guess that's been that's helped us enact kind of our giving much quicker than planned, which is good news.
Yeah.
I think the other thing we've done, kind of listening to customers in the early first few days of it, a lot of people were very keen to help friends, family, loved ones. And we've always had on our plan to launch a 24-hour service lead time. So we launched sort of probably a couple of weeks in a sort of what we call a care box, but effectively a vegan offering recipe box and a meat, fish and poultry recipe box, which if you order by 7 p.m. in the evening, you get it delivered the next day. And that allows people who, you know, want to send friends or family a box, and it means that you don't have to sign up to subscription, it's a one-off purchase, but allows a very responsive need. And a lot of people were saying, well, you provide gift cards, but that doesn't really do the job because people have still got to work and do the work. So I guess from our view, it hit a couple of things. One is it's great for customers, and two, it allowed us to operationally demonstrate we can kind of deliver in 24-hour lead time. So yeah, good for customers, good for the business. And then the last bit was really a reaction that we've allowed to do, which we acted talking to kind of a number of businesses who contacted us, but our recent partnership with Nando's. So, you know, people were struggling with wanting to go out but sort of stuck at home, and we thought what a great thing to be able to do would be to kind of give people a restaurant experience at home, but with all the values of Mindful Chef in terms of, you know, free range chicken and stuff like that. So we enacted that pretty quickly, and we launched that within a matter of weeks with Nando's, and we just finished it, and it's been incredibly successful. So
did they come to you, or did you go to them?
Do you know what? I can't remember. You can edit that, but I don't know. I think we reached out to them, to be honest. I think we reached out.
And would you foresee other partnerships?
Yeah. I mean, we've done lots of other partnerships anyway. We do partnerships. We've got a partnership with David Lloyd. We've got partnerships we do with Nike. We've done some work with their loyalty team on things like our frozen smoothie range. So yeah, we do a lot. Whether we do more with restaurant stroke, something to be explored. I mean, certainly it hit a right moment in time where people were looking for, you know, some of their favorite dishes they weren't able to get hold of. So it sort of had a resonance, and it was very shareable. Yeah. You know, everyone has a secret Nando's. There's a secret Nando's fan, as I found out quite rapidly. Everyone was posting and said, gosh, yes, I really like Nando's. So that was good. And I think, it's sort of only something you can do in this sort of climate, you know, with these things happening.
You've got to be careful you don't become Nando's delivery service provider. What have been the biggest challenges in delivering in this increased demand over the last 3 months or so, Tim?
Three things, really. The first one, scaling operationally is a big challenge. You know, we've been able to grow over 350% in terms of box numbers, despite a really strong January as well. So, but that's been really kind of challenging. But we've got a model that allows us to do that. I think the second one is building a team. So we've recruited 10 people plus since the pandemic started, and actually even one on our C-suite. So bringing people on, bringing them, you know, into the business. It's a different challenge. Yeah, fast. And it's a different set of challenges. And yeah, a lot of people unsure of what does onboarding during lockdown look like? You know, as people joining the business, you know. So a lot of encouragement, support to people. So that was the second one. And thirdly, we're fundraising currently as well, and that's part of our Series B. So you know, that's always challenging at the best of times. So in a pandemic, that makes it even more challenging.
Which functions were you recruiting those 10 or so people
across the business? So we recruited people in, obviously quick reaction, customer service, because that's something that scales very quickly during, as you scale a business, buying. We recruited people into operations to help deliver the number of boxes, growth in boxes. Yeah. But we also then bolstered up our tech and brought a chief products officer on during that time. Starts the 6th of July. And a head of brand as well brought on. So actually we really haven't let the pandemic slow us down in terms of recruitment, and we've embraced sort of, you know, video conference, video recruitment, and meeting people through that. And we've used we shared that through the teams for the best candidates. So.
Excellent. Good. It's good to hear. And what changes have you had to make to the business, to the plumbing of the business, as it were, to accommodate the way you serve customers? Has there been seismic differences in the way you serve, or is it simply about refining what exists today?
I think there's we've had to make quite a lot of changes. A couple of major changes. One is we've had to reduce our menus to try and improve efficiency. So, yeah, I suppose a bit like the supermarkets, reducing choices to be able to stay in stock. You know, we've reduced our recipe range from sort of 16 to 14, only temporarily, but that allowed us to scale up our production to meet the demand. And actually, as a result, we were the only recipe box to stay supplying new customers and existing customers. I think most people shut down, both online, actually, grocery, new customers, but we were able to. That allowed us to create the efficiencies to drive more recruitment. And then the other change we made to our operations to serve customers was more flexibility on substitutions. So, you know, inevitably, because of the supermarket, you know, the rush for people to buy stock, you know, we found in the supply base that anything from tinned sweet corn to tinned tomatoes, but a lot of the long life product just was absorbed into the retail side. Yeah. And so, you know, we had to be more flexible about substitutions and work with our kitchen team on bringing those on board quickly. And actually customers were very understanding because, you know, they were appreciative of actually getting food.
But
there's quite a lot of work to do there.
Is there anything that you tried or changed in the way you do business that perhaps worked less well?
Just trying to think less well. I mean, some of the things that trying to think, working remotely for certain teams doesn't work very well. Okay. So particularly our kitchen development teams. So, you know, trying to create recipes and we create recipes and we then shoot recipes and we put them into our marketing materials. That's quite challenging. And actually it's fine to do it for a short period of time, but really actually we had to find ways of bringing that back into kind of an office environment fairly quickly. So that's one example where it didn't work quite well and we've had to adapt. I think, I think generally, I mean, clearly fundraising is much more challenging. Yeah. I mean, everything came to a grinding halt. So that didn't work very well for us for a couple of weeks where everything was on pause and people were worrying about, you know, actually my own funds and what they're doing. So, you know, that I guess you don't have a lot of choice in that. You have to run your business like that. So you have to be flexible on how you do that. I think the other bit is that, you know, I think what we found pretty early on is video conferencing has its limits as well. You know, you do need, actually a phone call is quite often more effective than a video conferencing in terms of teams getting together. And we did find that we ended up absorbing quite a lot of teams' time and energy. So culturally, it was actually quicker to move to other forms of communication sometimes. Actually, we use Slack a lot to communicate across the business. So that was really helpful. So we changed, I guess, some of that pretty quickly.
I assume the answer here, but what are the lasting repercussions of this pandemic, of this challenging time for the business world? And do you see that your business, Mindful Chef, to be in a better shape coming out of it?
No, I mean, the major change is the customer channel shift. To online, you know, it took 23 years to get to sort of 7% online penetration. It took 12 weeks to double that level. And what we're seeing is, you know, even the most ardent non-online customer has now changed their behaviours, and I think set to last. So, you know, that fundamental channel shift is really important. And I guess for us, what does that mean? It means there's a much larger addressable market for us to go after. So for the opportunity of the business to grow, it means that, you know, the original kind of forecasts of growth now are much, much higher. And I think, you know, the industry has seen that. You know, I think, you know, suddenly there is a rush to sort of build capacity. For us, we're really well placed for that. So I think the lasting impact for us is very good. We have a very capital light agile approach to how we run our operations. That's how we were one of the few to scale really quickly. So I think, you know, for us it's the lasting kind of impact as we can grow. I think the other piece for us is that we've, you know, now got a really experienced team who've been able to scale a business very quickly, and that knowledge base is kind of very valuable for us and will help us into the next stage of growth. You know, having built the confidence in the teams to grow fast and be able to change and adapt, I think is a real asset for the business.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, there'll be a great sense of achievement and fulfillment through this pandemic for, I'm sure, people across your business, across the functions. And and hopefully a bit of a pip in their step, which isn't necessarily the case with all businesses. So it's great to talk about this. What if anything has surprised you, Tim, over the last few months?
I think the how similar our new customers are to our existing customers. So we ran a survey pretty much after the pandemic broke to understand what, you know, who these new customers were we were adopting and how were they different to our existing customer base. And I think a lot of people in the market commentary externally to our business was like, oh, well, there'll be lots of people just desperate for food. Actually, we found, we did a survey, we got over 10,000 responses to our survey. And considering it takes about 12 and a half minutes to complete, that was a fantastic response.
Amazing.
Yeah. We found there was very marginal differences between our existing. We put it out to our old customer base, existing and our new, so we could look at the differences. And we'd run a survey, similar survey the previous year, so we had kind of control versions to look at. And actually, it was amazing how consistent. The main difference we found, and which echoes what I was saying about the shift to online, was a large proportion of those new customers had never actually shopped online before. So, they were suddenly going, oh, I really like the service, and I never knew about it because I'd never shot online before, but actually it suits me and I like it, you know. So that for us is sort of, they were very similar. And I guess we knew they'd be quite similar. We were quite surprised how similar they were to our existing customer base, which was great.
Excellent. Good. Have there been any lessons that you've personally learned as a consequence to the last 2-3 months to dealing with this pandemic that makes you a better leader, perhaps, or maybe even, dare I say it, a better person?
Yeah, I think it's really helpful to, really important to have a kind of call to action, purpose, kind of call to action. And, the business, and it's not just a business quote, but it's a kind of personal quote, personal belief. And we share that amongst the founders. But, making healthy eating easy is the mission. It's sort of what we, what we believe in. That's why we get up every day to go to work. And I think, that's really helped me keep focused. I think it's really helped give a sense of purpose and direction for decision making. So, you can filter out a lot of things that aren't important and aren't relevant. And I think also, in a world where you're doing quite well and others aren't doing so well, it's a great one to refer back to support the teams, to sort of give them a sense of purpose as well, to be able to say, look, you really are contributing something important. This is a pretty serious event, and being able to provide people with healthy food and deliver to them without, them having to go out is making a difference. So I think, I guess that for me is kind of the big.
So just picking up my last question I wanted to ask was whether you'd experienced any kindness, any random subtle points of kindness. And the reason I asked this question is that I think people have been kinder through the stresses of the last 3 months or so. I think people have found it difficult and challenging to exist, to be with family, working from home, working, not working, losing jobs, having the anxieties with health. And I've definitely seen people working hard to be kind, but also trying to keep calm and manage anxieties at the same time. Mm. At the beginning of this year, I was working on building an advisory board for a group of private equity clients. And we placed two people onto this board, and we were planning to make two more placements. And the third placement was about to be offered, as was the fourth, and the lockdown and the pandemic was announced, and the recruitment was cancelled. And so that was that. I made two completion fees at Prince Dale, and I was hoping to make another two, which of course weren't now going to happen. But the client called me the next day and offered to pay one as a gesture of kindness, almost as a credit note for next year and for our working together next year, but just knowing that as a small business it was going to affect us. So I found that very humbling, and I like sharing it. But to you, have you experienced any kindness through it that that made you feel good?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of examples of that I've received, and I guess one that we've given, I suppose, was so. I think, you know, I've definitely had lots of really lovely notes from customers. We run Trustpilot, but amazing, very personal. I'm reaching out to founders and myself about, you know, how what's made the difference it's made. You know, whether that's when we did the NHS work or simply when we, you know, were able to get boxes to people when others weren't. So I think kind of the amazing kind of outreach of real warmth and actually super helpful for the teams, you know, when you get amazing, really heartfelt comments that you can share amongst the team. It's kind of really motivating. So it's been really great. I think likewise, probably from our investors and our board, sort of lots of personal kind of help. You know, they're very aware, and being very supportive. So that's been, you know, it's not always the case, you know, when you're busy, people want, or quite often, you know, kindness is not asking you lots of questions or not bothering you.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Quite an empathetic board. So I was sort of pleased with that. And then I guess for us, the sort of gifts of, so we quickly thought actually what's really important for our teams was sort of random acts of kindness. So we did kind of one-offs of sort of sending people a, you know, through our warehouse, a kind of bottle of beer or wine for a drink on a Friday and impromptu, and they'd receive it without really realizing that it was coming. You know, suddenly this DPD box would arrive with a bottle of something for them. So that they were really happy with that. And then I think we also were quite, we want to kind of get the work-life balance, because I think quite a lot of, you know, a lot of people are really, you know, it's difficult to get that when you're working remotely and working from home. So we've given both the Calm app and the Fit app to all the team, which has been really, really great. And we also offered up free testing, COVID testing for the teams. They didn't have to, you know, that was just for their peace of mind rather than they had to share it with us. Just kind of thinking broadly about how we could support them more than just, you know, through work, and re-emphasizing things like the bike scheme and stuff. And so I think, yeah, we tried to be kind of a bit less corporate, a bit more, not that we're very corporate at all, but a bit more thoughtful around and kind around what we could give back, given people are working hard and a bit stressed.
Yeah, excellent. Well, that sounds very encouraging. Are you looking forward to getting back to having most of your staff under one roof, or how do you feel about
actually
a return?
Another thing we wanted to do for the teams is we realised there's quite a lot of uncertainty on what's going to go on next, and so we wanted to give a kind of sense of certainty. So we've already indicated that if you don't want to come back to the office, you don't need to until 2021, and then we'll review it again. So we sort of, I think people want some certainty on how they can plan their lives, you know, whether that's through childcare or just generally. And so that's been quite well received. And I think what we're doing now actually is doing another survey of what does the future of work look like for each and every one of the individuals. You know, what does an ideal working environment look like now going forward? You know, is it, we already offered 50 days a year working from home, so, you know, essentially one day a week, but we, you know, I think we're looking to change that and adapt. So yeah, it'll be interesting, fascinating. We just put the survey out early part of this week, so it'll be fascinating to see.
Excellent.
What people say. But I did go into the office yesterday to see the kitchen team, who are working in a kind of in a new space, a bigger space, so they can socially distance, and that was it was good. Great. I think, you know, we do miss the interaction and the serendipity of conversations of ideas, so, you know, it's good to get a balance, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tim Lee, CEO of Mindful Chef, I'm glad that you have had successes. I'm glad you've been able to monopolize them. I think there'll be a lot of people who weren't able to react or to move as fast or to have as much alignment within their team to make the most of opportunities. And as I said, it's nice to think that businesses like yours perhaps have come out stronger and that the projection to wooing, charming, and ultimately serving customers is even steeper. So I salute you and I thank you for your time and I wish you the best. We'll keep in contact.
Thanks very much.
Excellent. Pleasure. Thank you very much, Tim. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.